I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of James tonight. If you're not familiar with the book of James, James has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It is a very practical book. It's kind of like this. Now that you know the gospel, this is what you should do. And you're given some practical admonition as to how we're supposed to live our lives in Christ. And there's some great things there. But James is a very practical book. It's written to give us an idea of how to live the Christian life. And lo and behold, after all the things James talks about, taming of the tongue, he talks about wisdom, he talks about all kind of themes in the book. But leave it to me to come up with the most controversial to speak tonight and talk to you about. And that is this subject of divine healing that we're talking about. Now look at James 5:13-15, where he says this: "Is anyone among you in trouble? Then let them pray. Now, is anyone happy?" Sometimes we forget to ask that second one, don't we? You ask anybody in trouble, you're going to get a lot of hands. If you ask anybody, are you happy? And what he wants to do, he said, let them sing songs of praise. Now, I don't know how many of you do that. I haven't always done it, but I've begun to do it. And because God's probably the only person that really would tolerate hearing me sing. And so he gets it, but I can tell you what, you'll draw some looks from people. And I do mine in the car most of the time. I just be praising God and be singing. And I don't sing a song. I sing whatever gets there. I can make my own tune up. I just go. There's sometimes I'll sing one I've heard, but most of the time I'm just out on a limb, going, just singing one. And you ride up in a red light right next to a person, put like so on your right there, and you just be going through the song, and then you kind of look over at them. And you'll be surprised some of the looks you get. But anyway, he says, let them sing songs of praise. We need to do more of that. He says, anyone among you sick? Now watch this. Then let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, call upon the elders of the church to pray. And we do that here. We believe in that here. And the oil, by the way, has no medicinal purpose. It has really no meaning other than a symbolic meaning to represent the power of the Holy Spirit in your prayer. So the oil is it's a symbolic thing that we do. And if you're looking at me and say, Mike, have you ever been anointed with oil? Yes, I have. And I may do it again. I'm not sure, but I have definitely been there, and I definitely believe in that. Now, then he says this, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Now you need to latch on to that. The Lord will raise them up. Then he says, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's that word healed again. It's not the same thing when we get to there, and I'll explain that in just a second. Then he says, one of my favorite verses, he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, that's the version I'm reading, but it also, you can read in King James, I believe it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man will availeth much. That word fervent means passionate. It means being totally convinced of something. And so if you're convinced God can answer your prayer and God's going to meet your need, that's how you should pray. It shouldn't just be off the tongue prayers. Lord, while I'm talking to you, I thought I better mention this and mention that. No, it's something I believe. Lord, I believe this can happen, and I believe you can do it. And so that's a fervent prayer. That's an effectual prayer. And that's what he said. That will availeth much. It'll be powerful and effective. Now, you notice, I wanted to make you see there that this there's a difference in the word healed. Back up there where we just looked. He said, if you're sick, then you need to be healed. He said, prayer offered in faith. No, this is prayer-faith relationship. Prayer-faith. Throughout that, that's what I want you to look at. He said, and that prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well and will raise them up. In other words, that sick person will be healed. That's what he says. Then he says, if they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It's virtually the same word again, but it's got a different meaning. The second time, I believe its meaning is far different than the first. The first one, I think, means a physical healing. I think the second time, it means a total healing, spiritual, mind, soul, body, everything. It means a total healing because it's more, and I'll get into that, it's more important than the way the first one has addressed there. Now, healing is a very difficult subject. Like as I said, it's one of the more misunderstood things in the Bible. It is because and the reason I believe it is because we want to gravitate toward that which is quick and easy. That's what we're looking for, and that's what that's what we want to believe. And you know, sometimes it's just not the way it is. But then he talks about that confession. There's so much confusion about the one subject. You realize on one extreme, you can go two extremes here. On one extreme, there is this name it and claim it type gospel thing that we've talked about. It's way out here on this extreme. And it says, all you got to do is name it and claim it, and God will do whatever you tell him to do. Well, if God's doing what you tell him to do, who's God? So, but that's one extreme out here. I've even been on this extreme before, to where someone told me that, I'm praying for your physical healing, but if you don't get the physical healing, then something's wrong with you. You ever been told that? Sure makes you feel a lot better, don't it? You know, come home from surgery after a couple of days and be in pain, have somebody show up, pray for you and tell you, I'd like for you to be healed because God said you're supposed to be healed, but hey, something must be wrong. You know, I'm taking the pain medicine. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But no, they say something's wrong in you spiritually if you're not healed. Well, folks, there's something wrong with every one of us spiritually. You know, we didn't recognize that. Without Jesus, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. But you have this other extreme where people say, God doesn't do miracles anymore. That he doesn't heal people, physically heal people anymore. And I don't believe that either. Because, if you look and say, 2,000 years, has God done a healing miracle in 2,000 years? Absolutely, he has. You've probably seen some of them. I've seen some of them. But here's what we get wrong, folks. I think we kind of mess it up and get confused on a one simple thing. And that's we try to worship God based on our own intellect. You know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. I don't want to worship a God that I can limit to my brain. Because that may not be a God at all. I want to worship a God who's far and above any realm that I can possibly create for him. And that's where God is, folks. He's in a realm a lot bigger than I can ever conceive in my mind for him to be. I like it that way. I like facing it that way. And if I go to a God, and I say every time I say be healed, just like James says it, James understood this. Just be healed right now, just jump up from that and go. Hey, I'm Brother Frank, we'd mentioned this a time or two before. If God's going to do that, then let's go to the hospitals tonight and empty the beds out. Let's get rid of all of it. But it doesn't happen that way because God heals us sometimes actually on the other side. He heals us on the other side. And his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. He does things that I can't even imagine him doing. And I believe God does answer prayer. I believe he still heals people. I do. But God's ways are far above me. And there are things that I believe we won't understand until we get to heaven. I truly believe that. I believe that there will be a time when we are in heaven and we get to look back and things that we question now, things that we look at now and say, well, why didn't God, I prayed for that person to be healed and I asked for this to happen and it just didn't happen the way I asked for it to. And I think when we get to heaven, our eyes are going to be open. We'll be looking going, oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that part of it. I didn't see the whole thing. Well, that was right. That was the right decision. Let me tell you something, folks. God is right all the time. all the time. He's never made a mistake. So whatever you're questioning God about doing, or wherever he is in your life, faith is the kind of thing that needs to, that you need to build up in your mind and in your heart to understand that God's always right. And whatever God's doing, it's right. And if God's not doing it, he's right. That's difficult. I understand that, you know, especially if you've got a if you got a problem. But folks, this faith thing is finding security in the things you don't know, not the things you do. If you can only believe what you do know, that's not faith. Substance of every substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things that things not seen. I mean, that's not what faith is at all. Faith is based on what you don't know, what you don't see. And that's where trust in God has to come from. And every time, it's a settled fact that every time that I ask God to heal me, or you ask God to heal someone, and you pray this prayer that James has written here, we're told to pray that prayer. I believe in it. But every time we pray that, the healing doesn't look the same way, folks. It's not supposed to. We're different, and God's got a different plan for our life. Sometimes that's hard for me to wrap my little brain around, that God's got a, he's got an individual, he's got a different plan for each and every one of us. But I believe he does. I believe we're here for that reason. And I believe we're uniquely created for that purpose. And just because something doesn't go just as like I can name it and claim it, that doesn't take away from God to me at all. I don't have a problem with that. But I put three things quickly. I'm gonna be quick tonight. I'm gonna show you. I'm going fast tonight. Okay, so you better watch, keep up quick, because I'm gonna be right past what you're looking at. Three observations I made from these things, and I want to share a story with you there in just a little bit. God still heals people. God still heals people, Brother Marty. Does God still heal people? You there? You know, I think he does. I understand he does. God still heals folks right and left. He does. So the question, you know, how many times have I prayed and I've seen family members, close friends, physically healed? How many of you, have you seen somebody physically healed in here? Okay, look at that. That's a lot of people. You know, that's quite a few people. Did all of those people you saw physically healed, did they live forever? No. Well, we got a problem. We're on two extremes here. And this is where we end up going on two sides of the story. I thought about Lazarus. God did an ultimate healing on him. He was dead. You know, dead for a few days. God comes along and calls him out of the grave, and he comes forth. Talk about a healing, buddy. That got headlines right there. That's a healing. His body was physically healed. But now, later on, Lazarus died. What happened? That's the problem. See, that's the two things that we look at. You don't see anywhere else, when you read the miracle of Lazarus, you don't see anywhere that I know of, that it says Lazarus, you know, lived for a few more years, and then he died. He died again. Well, why didn't God heal him again? Why didn't you just pull him out again and do the same thing over again? That was not what God's will was for him. Sometimes it's not, but it sometimes is. It is God's will for us to be healed in a specific point in time, but it's not ours to choose the time. That's not the way it is at all. Look at Hebrews 13:8 there that I put for you. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. He's always been there, and he'll be there tomorrow. He'll be the same person tomorrow. He'll have the same power tomorrow that he has today. 2 Timothy there, I love this. It says, 4:18, he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and he'll bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever, amen. He'll bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. So there's this idea now that when God heals you, sometimes it's to take you to his heavenly kingdom. Now, we need to understand, and we fail to do this, I think, in large part in our society, we fail to look at it, because when this word healing comes up, it almost indicates to anybody who hears it an instantaneous type of healing. In other words, snap your fingers, there it is. You know, God forbid, We've got people filling the airwaves on TV, and they've misused this, and it's a shame, because it's caused people to stumble. It's caused them to believe the wrong thing about God, and it's a crying shame that anything would happen to that. It's just, you know, really, really sad that people get caught up in that kind of thing. But folks, we're all going to be healed when we get to heaven. You know that? My back's not going to be hurting me a bit when I get there. You know what I'm saying, Sue? Yeah. You've been there, Tip. You're with me on that. My back's not going to hurt a bit, you know? My wife's going to be just as pretty as she is tonight. My back won't hurt, and everything will be cool, you know? But there's a time, folks, for the healing, and I think sometimes that God takes us there. He takes us there providentially, folks, because he knows this panoramic view that I like to talk about a lot. God knows what was over here in the past. He knows what's happening right now, and he knows the future. So if he knows all those things, how many of you do? I barely know the past. A lot of people say you don't know the present either, you know. I surely don't know the future. So how could I possibly know more than God as to what to do with me if he knows it all, if he's seen it all? It's all laid out in front of him. He's seen it. So he knows what's best. He knows when this needs to happen. God's got the whole ball of wax, folks. He's got everybody interacting. And because he does, he uses and does what he does, and he's right every time he does it. And we have to learn to believe that, because that's what real faith is. That's what real faith talks about. Now, number two, God is also concerned about my soul. And I believe even more so than my body, I believe he's more so concerned about my soul. And that's what the second part that we read in James talks about. He says, you know, if that prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And then he says, if they have sinned, then they'll be forgiven. Well, that's a spiritual kind of sickness, isn't it? If you've sinned, so God's more concerned about where you're going to spend eternity than making well something that's wrong with you physically. I believe that. He's way more concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. And so he's concerned about our soul. And then he puts in that verse there, look at that verse I put there, Luke 10:19-20. He said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, you do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now that's a declaration and a rebuke all at the same time. He said, you know, he's basically saying that now you need to understand this, that I'm going to give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And that's reference to snakes and scorpions is a reference to Satan. It's a symbolic reference to Satan. And he said, I'm going to give you the power to stamp on that. But don't brag about the power over that. Because the thing you need to be concerned about is that you're going to be coming into heaven. Don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the heavens, in the book of life in heaven. That's what we ought to. You talk about a miracle there. That's a miracle. That's you know, people say, well, God doesn't do miracles anymore. Yeah, he does. I see some of them. I see them tonight. I know a lot more of them that he's done miracles in their life. He still does that. But he's concerned more about our soul than he is our physical healing. Third point I wanted to make. God wants me to grow in faith. You don't get anything else out of tonight. Get this. God wants me to grow in faith. And Hebrews 11:6 there says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Who earnestly seek him. This is this faith thing. I believe all of us are given a measure of faith by God to believe. I don't believe you believe on your own, okay? You don't just one day say, I believe. God gives you a measure of faith in your heart to believe. And after you receive that measure of faith, what you do with growing that faith has everything to do about what's going to happen to you in the future. Has everything to do about what kind of person you're going to be. It has everything to do with about what kind of servant you're going to be for God. what kind of impact you're going to make. It's all about that growing faith that's in us, because he wants us to grow in faith. Now, you go on down, and I didn't put that in there from the book of James mentions the character Elijah from the Old Testament that we read. And he says Elijah was a man just like we are. And you know, a lot of people in the Old Testament kind of argue that with you. No, Elijah was a miracle man. He was a miracle man of God. But James says, hey, no, he was a man just like we are. And what James is saying, if you grow in faith, you could grow to the point where Elijah was. Now that's difficult. That's hard for us to kind of wrap our hands around that. That's because Elijah was way up there. You know what I'm saying? And he tells the story about Elijah that I'm gonna get to you in just a minute. But what I want you to look at here is this is a faith journey. That's what your life is after you come to faith in Christ. It's a journey in faith. It's building upon the faith you already had. And every day, now let me go back here just a minute. And I probably should let this go, but I'm not. If every time you prayed for anybody to be healed, or you to be healed, or everything to go exactly like you asked for it to go, if God did exactly what you said, how much faith would you have? You'd have faith in you, but you might not have any faith in God because he's doing what you tell him. And that's this whole thing. He's talking about you got to grow in faith, have a journey in faith with God. And I put the faith journey down there. The faith journey. Number one, faith begins with a word from God. It always begins with a word from God. You don't get it unless he gives it to you. And that's the small beginning that it takes. And that faith can grow well beyond anything you imagined. That's what it can do. It begins with a small word from God. Now look at 1 Kings. I put this story of Elijah in there for you to see because I like certain parts of it. And you've probably already heard about this when the prophets, they were testing to see whose God was God, and you know, is Baal going? Is he going to do light the altar? And Elijah's going, I tell you what, just build a trench around the altar by where all the wood is, and so it'll fill up with water, and then we're going to wet the wood, and then my God will bring fire. You know, he's going to bring fire from heaven. And the other one, you know, the Baal, which, you know, he didn't do anything. He tried and he couldn't do anything. But in reference to that, 1 Kings 17:1, he says this. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Now, I got to tell you, folks, we see that. We've seen it this year, really. But rain is highly important to the livelihood of a people. It makes things grow. And without it, it gets barren. And so Elijah said, you want to see who God is? Or you want to know what God's all about? My God is going to get, I'm telling you now, my word is they won't be dew, they won't be rain, there won't even be anything wet here for a number of years until I say. And when I say, I'll ask my God and we'll take care of it then. But until then, there's not going to be rain. And so he's really, you talk about a man of faith. This guy had God's ears. You know, he'd been through the wars. So he knew. Isaiah 55:11 says this. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, all the promises of God, when God made this promise to Elijah, Elijah knew that this promise was going to come true, because every promise that had been made to him by God had come true, because all the promises of God do come true. Now, as I said earlier, there'll be a moment when we come face to face with God, when we're on the other side, that we're going to see the purpose in a lot of things. You know, I really don't know what our mindset or our heart set is. I can't predict that, but I wonder if we're even going to look and say, you know, I don't know if I want to look and go see where God did everything right again. You know, I know he does, but I there's a moment it'll come face to face. You'll come to a moment of crisis with God, and you'll come face to face with your belief. It'll face you as to how you believe. So Elijah's got, he's got rain held up here for another 2.5 years, something like that. And then when we get to number two there, faith not only begins with a word from God, faith continues when you hold on to what he said. Now, a lot of people will tell you, you know, I prayed about it one time, that's all I needed, and God heard it, and that's the name of that tune. That doesn't build faith, folks. That doesn't build faith. I believe differently from that. I believe that God wants to continue in prayer. And we see this here. Look at 1 Kings 18:43-44. It said, go and look toward the sea. Elijah's telling this man, go and look toward the sea. He told his servant. And he went up and he looked. And he came back and said, there is nothing there, he said. Well, what's Elijah looking for? He's getting ready for it to rain now after all this time. And he tells his servant, you go look. And it says Elijah put his head down to the ground between his legs and was looking and praying and waiting for God to do what he knew God was going to do. And as he prayed there, he told his servant, you go out and go look up over the sea, because when a cloud comes, it's going to come over the sea. Because that's where water is. It's going to come over the sea. So he told his servant, he said, go out there and look. And his servant came back and said, I didn't see anything. It's clear as day. And then he tells him again. So he says, look, you go back and look again. So the servant goes back, looks again, comes back and says, hey, didn't see a thing, nothing. That's two times. He goes all the way to the seventh try. Now that's faith growing. You know what I'm saying? If you look one time and say, well, you know, I see it. Something was all wrong. This whole thing's messed up. And God just didn't choose to bless me today or whatever. You know, you missed the whole point. Since he sent him back the seventh time. And the story says this. He told him there's nothing there. And the seventh time when the servant came back, he reported. Now look what he said. He said, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Now, a cloud that's big as a man's hand, that's a little old bitty wisp, isn't it? That's a little piece of vapor or something. There's not much to that. A cloud as big as a man's hand. But when Elijah heard that, that's all he needed. Because Elijah then, look what he said. A cloud as small as a man's hand's riding from the sea. And Elijah said, well, you go and tell Ahab to hitch up his chariot and go down before the rain stops him. Now, we talking about a little feathery, I don't know what, little feathery white wisp of a cloud that's above the sea. And from that, this is where Elijah's faith was. He said, well, that's God. That's what God told me. He's going to bring rain. So he tells, can you imagine the servant going down and telling Ahab, you know, hitch up your chariots. The rain's coming fast. It's going to get here. So you get all your horses ready to get out of here before the rain hits. You're not going to be able to do it. And can imagine Ahab looking at him, you know, we've been 2-3 years without rain. What are you talking about? There's not a cloud in the sky. All I see is that little white wisp up there, and there's nothing else there. And I, you know, this is ridiculous. What are you talking about? But he said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up the chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Look at Galatians 6:9. He said, let us not become weary doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, I love that phrase, proper time. Now, and I want to ask you, as the people of God, who knows the proper time? It's not us, is it? We think we do, because we want to command this, but it's the only one that knows the proper time is God, because he knows all of time. He knows it all. So he said, at the proper time, they'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you tonight is through that example, don't give up on your prayers. Something, if you're praying for someone, or you're praying for something, whatever you're praying for in your prayer life, be faithful to it. I've even had this happen to me a number of times. And I'd be praying about something, and I'm supposed to know how to pray. And I pray about this thing. And after praying for it for quite a while, you know, it becomes almost just repetitious every day in your prayer. And oh Lord, yeah, you know that. And then there have been times where God will say, you know, just, is that really what you think? And I've had times where God would just say to me, are you going to limit what I can do? Because I would be limiting what he does by how I said my prayer. And it says everything about how I believe. And sometimes I have to back up and look and say, no, Lord. You know, I ask for too little. You're a big God. You can do a lot of things. And then I have to refocus that thing. What he's saying to us is don't give up. Don't look out there one time, two times, three times, four times and say, you know, it doesn't look like God's doing anything. He's not going to do anything. So I'm just going to go on about my merry way. And evidently I was wrong or something's wrong with me. And I'm not as close to God as I thought and all that. You know, James got through telling us Elijah was a man just like we are. So he goes, I love this next step. Number three, and I'm finishing up. Faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. And the problem with that, folks, is we don't care for the small beginning. We all want the grand finale. We want to see the grand, the thing come to pass. Now, I want you to notice in 1 Kings in chapter 18, picking right up in those verses there, I want you to notice in this what happened. He says, meanwhile, this is back to the story of Elijah, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. Which means it wasn't black with clouds to start with. There was a white whisper. But the sky, he says, grew black with clouds. You know, the sky got serious because God was serious and something's about to happen. He said, and heavy rain, the wind rose and heavy rain came on. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Now the power of the Lord, watch this. This is worth the whole thing. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. What? Y'all not laughing, see, because you didn't. You missed that totally. It just went right. It says Elijah, who told Ahab, hitch up the chariot and get gone before the rain's coming. You won't be able to go. And Ahab takes that. He's gone. He's got a head start. And then Elijah, feeling the power of God upon him, tucks his cloak into his belt. I guess that's getting him where he can run, you know. And Elijah takes off running. And did you see what it says? He went ahead of Ahab. Elijah ran a team of horses driving a chariot. That's what it says. He says he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. He ran all the way to Jezreel. And you know what, folks? It just tells me that, when I see that, that God always does more than what we expect. We're the ones that limit him. He does more than what we expect. Now look at Zechariah 4:10 in the New Living Testament, and we'll finish with this. He says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't you know that God, when he puts that measure of faith in your heart, and he watches different folks, he's drawing you to him, and he's putting this person in your life, this circumstance in your life. And he's putting all that together, and he's drawing you to him. Now, don't you think when the moment you kneel and you pray to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, that he's drawn you to that point, and you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, don't you think God looks back at that small beginning and says, man, it was worth it. That small beginning turned into a huge grand finale. But that small beginning had to be. And that's the way it kind of happens to happen with us sometimes. We need some small beginnings, even though we want the finale right now. We want the grand finale because, you know, we're a selfish lot of people, folks, whether we want to admit it or not. We are. And we want what gratifies us the most. And we need to wrap our hands and our arms around this faith, prayer, faith process. And that's what I put at the end of the process is the point. It's not whether God healed this time or that time or the next time or this time. It's the process. It's the growing by faith that's the point in the whole thing anyway. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be growing in the faith. There's this promise God makes, and then in between, there's this process of growth, and then the payoffs at the end. So he's all about that promise and that process. And I didn't put it in your notes, but James 5:19-20 says this. It says, brethren, this is the last thing. He said, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean anybody that turns you back saved you. God saved you. But this person that convinces you to turn back toward God, they cover a multitude of sins right there. This is James' admonition to us. Let's pray. Father, I praise you this night for this opportunity to come and share, Lord, what you have shared with me. And Lord, I count it a privilege to be able to share it with these, my brothers and sisters, Lord, that I love dearly. So Lord, I pray, let your word not come back void, for you promised us, Lord, that it never would. Lord, I don't ever believe that you just speak just to hear yourself speaking. I believe there is purpose in your voice. Lord, I believe there's a faith process that's going on inside each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that you will minister us in that process. Lord, help us to take our eyes off our situation and look at the bigger picture. Help us, Lord, to have faith in you that you've got it all covered. And no matter, sometimes, Lord, when we grow weak, I pray, strengthen us, Lord, that we could see the bigger plan, that we could stay right in close with what you would have for our lives. Lord, we pray for those that are on our prayer list tonight, those that are in need of prayer tonight. We just lift all of them up to you. And we thank you for what you're doing in our church. And we pray that you'd be mighty God in every situation. For it's in his son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.